Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Scale Business Podcast. My name is Hector Santiesteban and I am your host for today. And today I'm joined by a very good friend, Mr. Eric Farewell. Thanks for joining us today, dude. Appreciate you being here.
Glad to be here, brother. Truly glad to be here.
I usually like to introduce people with what they've done. The challenge is that you've done so many damn things that I don't know where to start. I think the thing that I don't know if you're most known for, but I don't even know if it's your biggest business, but one of the businesses that seems to have taken a large part of your time is you've got an aviation sort of business where you're training people who jump out of planes like you're doing. But then that's one of them. You've got another of other sort of, I don't even, they're probably more, way more than side hustles. Here's the point. Catch us up on what you're doing, a little bit about how you got here, and then now where you're maybe transitioning to today.
It's always clear to me when I'm talking to somebody who is a fellow front row dad, because the reality is that's not at all what I do. And we just don't talk about business very much. I do have aviation businesses. So my background is I started working when I was 7 years old at my family's restaurant. By 13, I'd launched my first business on this new thing called the internet. I was selling airplanes, actual real life airplanes. And I kind of fell into that as a broker after buying my first airplane kit. Fast forward through a career in internet marketing and speaking, consulting, photography. I had a very popular blog for a long time. Lots of travel, lots of really incredible adventures and some terrible misadventures. Broken my back twice. I was a test pilot, but I built many, many companies. I love business. I love how much freedom and how much good a business can create. So right now I own Aviator Paramotor, which is a business where you don't jump out of an airplane, but rather you put a fan on your back and you run into the sky just like your dreams. And that business has been around for nearly 12 years now. It is considered to be the largest paramotor training school in the world, which doesn't sound like it's very fancy, but it's kind of exciting. We've trained over 2,400 people, 2,500 people how to fly and how to get their wings. So that's been really exciting. Within that, we have a manufacturing branch. We build our own. We have a Department of Defense and military contract side and a media side. So we actually had many, many podcasts, which kind of fizzled out of COVID. And then we've been making YouTube videos. It's been our primary driver for marketing for the last decade plus. And that has turned into its own venture. And that YouTube channel is almost 90,000 subscribers as of today. I just happened to notice it this morning. And led me to many other opportunities. We've had an aerobatic team that's been on tour with air shows all over the country. We have just a recent acquisition is National Stoll, which is actually an aircraft racing series for these bush planes. And that comes with its own media company. So that's a production that we take all over the country. And our pilots show up and they take off in these insanely short distances. They land in insanely short distances. And then we live stream that, capture it, and post it, much like you with this podcast. And last year, it was around 66 million viewers. So we've got a great foundation there. And that's actually growing so quickly that every time we send out a deck, we apologize that the numbers are so skewed and they're 7 days old, right? It's kind of exciting. But that's neat. That's a whole other business venture where we're trying to find the right brands to partner with now to start to take this new, you know, motorsport that no one had done the way that we do it and promote it and publicize it to the world. So those are some of the main businesses. I just actually got back from a couple of days in an undisclosed location doing consulting for an undisclosed company for for some aerospace stuff, which is exciting. And it keeps things adventurous for me. But I guess to full circle this all the way around, say lots of different businesses, lots of intentional building of things that I believe help people overcome their fears and become present with who they're meant to be. And at the heart of all of that, a few years ago, I decided that success to me wasn't another zero or another comma in my bank account. It was time with my kids and time with my wife. And I prioritized that. It took a few years, but I was able to exit my businesses. The National Stoll business I'm still involved in about 10 weekends a year. And Aviator is run by a CEO, Matt Lukey, and a great team. And I'm not involved. I don't have to be there. I'm not needed. I guess that's my claim to fame, because apparently that's not something that most people do. I have a business that has a great purpose that changes people's lives and that I don't have to do anything for.
Yeah. I'm always curious in these instances when there's so many, I don't know if spinoffs is the right way to call them, but sometimes that seems like how it feels or how it looks. But is there a golden thread or a common thread to all of these? Obviously, you are a big part of that. But is there anything that connects or aligns the businesses in some sort of way?
I think the heart of it, it's what I love. You know, I love aviation. I love photography. I love creating art and building systems and hiring people. And when I look at my company, I know that I have over 24, 25 families at Aviator. that are fed because of my passion. That brings me great joy. My personal mission is to help myself and others overcome our fears, to be present, truly present with who we really are. And that has been a theme throughout my life of really digging in deep and helping people cross the chasm, as it were, helping both myself and others step across and step into where they're meant to be. Not sure if that makes sense.
It makes the most sense. So let's take us back to you're starting out and you're 13 years old, brokering planes. I gotta imagine that there's not really a precedent for that. So I'm curious, when you look back on that sort of experience, are there still some things that you hold on to from those years, or lessons or even mistakes that you look back on that you try and avoid when you're in the things that you're still doing today?
Oh man, so many different ways I could take that. There's a constant reminder. I am incredibly ADHD, as are most entrepreneurs. And I remember feeling so scattered, so pulled, so torn by all of my different interests and not really locking down. You know, Aviator is my first brick and mortar company. And I built that out of a real desire to escape the borderline fraudulent nature of internet marketing, where you've got all these people who are teaching you how to make millions of dollars online, but they're really only making millions of dollars online because they're teaching you to make millions of dollars online. And I had a major ethical issue with that world. And when I started Aviator, paramotor flying was really challenging for me. I've been a pilot since I was a kid, but the flying of a paramotor it's very physically demanding. I'd broken my back, so the pain was really high. And I remember very distinctly, we had a one-year-old son, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to be all in on this. Screw it. I'm all in. I'm not going to vary. I'm not going to look away. I'm not going to lose interest. I'm going to be all in and see it through. I wanted to make the industry better. I wanted to increase professionalism and safety. I really wanted to shift the way that people looked at these and hopefully showcase the incredible freedom that they can bring. And that's what we've been able to do through the YouTube channel and everything else. Those high school years, I was being led by my ADHD. I wasn't leading it. And learning to really double down and not shift focus when you have a mission is something I was able to take away from that for sure.
Is there anything that when you have done so many things, I imagine that a lot of the dots are connected in reverse, or like they make sense afterwards. And our good friend, Qasim Aslam, who talks about the corridor principle of just getting started. Was there any misfires that ended up like crashing and burning that you learned from that didn't make it into that kind of highlight reel? Or did each kind of layer on and make sense afterwards? Like kind of take us through that iteration process.
So at 19 years old, I had my first midlife crisis. I moved to an island that my great-grandparents had purchased a home on. I guess it was my grandparents, technically, back in the 50s. So this little island called Dog Island off the coast of Florida. And here I was, 19 years old, depressed, overwhelmed, newly single. My world had ended. It had been shaken to the nths. Growing up homeschooled, growing up very Christian, growing up with this idea that every person I ever talked to, I had to marry if it was, you know, a female. I was really in a really rough place. And I started writing a book called Failing Forward because I felt like so many of my adventures turned to misadventures, but they all led me toward the next step. And the ironic part of this is I never finished chapter one. So I failed at writing a book called Failing Forward. And I also now own a book called Failing Forward that someone else wrote. So once again, reminds us that the rarest thing in the world is a unique idea. But yeah, there's many misadventures along the way, lots of missed opportunities, whether it was not being willing to do the hard work, because I'm very much I'm a recovering workaholic, and I still feel like Sunday morning, 9:30, I walk out of my bedroom. And I'm like, I wonder if I have any emails I can reply to. You know, there's a dopamine trying to accomplish something that's not necessarily healthy. And so I was willing to do the work, but I only like to do work if it's going to be something that feels uplifting. You know, I'm an Enneagram 7, but even more specifically, I'm a social 7. So I want everyone around me to feel great. And yeah, definitely many, many times where if I wasn't sure that the payoff was going to be worth it, I didn't stay focused.
And as we zoom forward a little bit, are there now, well, let's call them, I don't know, principles or foundations or pillars that you think are present in all of those different companies? Because you've been able to step away from them, but I'd imagine that there's still some essence or some foundation that you were able to leave there. So that, like, help us see what each of them might have.
That's the most important imperative is as an entrepreneur, CEO, a founder, you need to create such a clear vision of what you're doing in the world, such an absolutely obvious thing that your entire team can look at it, own it, know it, love it, live it. And then from that vision, you need to have extremely clear core values that you hire and fire based upon. And I've been very blessed to have a lot of mentors in my life. I get my first mentor when I was 13 years old, and they shifted my perspective. I would say in such a dramatic way, it was like getting an MBA with 13, 14, 15, 16, with all these different incredible entrepreneurs who came alongside and allowed me to tap into their brilliance very, very early on. So the first thing that I do when I have to, you know, say, all right, I want to leave my business, I say, okay, we need to make sure that the vision is completely aligned, that we know exactly where we're going and why. We need to create core values, which I have a really cool little system for doing that, where you take the worst employees you've ever had and you dictate out all the different reasons why you fired them, why they were horrible, how they didn't show up, whatever the issue was. And then we flip those backwards. We look for commonalities, and that becomes our core values, because it's not what we just put on a piece of paper as, oh, we believe we should all be ethical. Well, yeah, that should go without saying. But if you had an employee who was unethical, or an employee who was always late, or someone who always asked for help for things they should know how to do for what they were hired for, we start looking at these things. Okay, we consistently fire people who ask for help before they Google it and try to figure it out on their own. Well, then we need to hire people who are self-starters. That's a good core value. We want someone that thinks for themselves and thinks like an entrepreneur. That's a good core value. So having those roadmaps laid out so that the team not only knows where they're going, but how they're going to get there, not necessarily with the tactical, like, we're going to do this year and this, that year, because then I'm still running the company, right? I don't want that position. I want to empower people through core values, through clear vision, that the team feels empowered to make decisions on their own. I remember a few months ago, I think in the past year, I've probably been to about 15 of our weekly meetings. And that's probably a little higher than it actually is. But I missed one, as I missed most of them. And I remember my CEO, because I had actually planned on going. I told him I was going to be there, and then I was late. And I hate being late. Timeliness is like next to godliness for me. That's a whole other story. So I called my CEO or texted him afterwards. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't make the meeting. And he said, Eric, we finally became a real team. He said, we're doing it on our own. We don't need you. We feel empowered. I'm like, perfect. That's the mission I want to deliver. Thank you. Well done. And there is an ethical stripping. Like, you have to, not ethical stripping, a ego stripping. There's a stripping of the ego, like changing your title. You know, there's definitely a piece that goes missing, but also it just further proof that this business is beyond me. It's bigger than what I am. And I never wanted to have the Eric Farewell show. You know, it was never my intent. My intent was to bring something greater than me into the world.
Well, maybe I think we should have the Eric Farewell show, because I think it'd be a very educational, informative, inspiring show. But when we get back from break, Eric, I'm curious, because now you're helping people to essentially exit and kind of sell and get out of the businesses, whether it's rising above the leadership org or even just getting out of and having an exit completely. But I'd imagine that it's easier if you start that process sooner and not come in at the end and trying to clean it up all afterwards. When we get back from break, we're going to get into what you think some of those steps are. And even if a business is maybe a few steps away from that exit point, how they might start. So we're going to get into that right after this quick break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Amplify Media. This is Hector's company, the company of the host of this show right here, right now. And what you have to understand about Hector himself is the level of care he brings to his entire team and to every single client. If you're just getting started with a podcast, or you have an established one and you hate the nitty-gritty, the little details, the editing, the posting, the sharing, the reviews, all the things you have to do as a podcaster that make you crazy and waste your time, Hector's there to save you. And he does it for a price I think is ridiculously too low. I've told him multiple times he needs to raise the price, because there's way more value there. Amplify Media, AMPLAFY media.com, can give you all the details on how you can get started or how you can streamline your process to just go back to creating the content that you love, that your followers listen to you for, and really build your voice. AmplifyMedia.com. See, you just gotta have to have other people sell for you.
That was way better than I could have ever done for a variety of reasons.
That's actually, so I know this is really not the way most podcasts go, but I love having podcasts with friends, because I can do that kind of thing, because it's not about you recommending your company, which it's great that you have the confidence to do that. But it's when people see the value in you and they see the value in what you bring to the world and they can speak it from their heart. Like, when I speak that from my heart, I know you. I know a half a dozen of your clients, a dozen of your clients. I hear how they speak about you and I go, this guy's killing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're killing it. In my opinion, in 5 years, you're going to be 100x where you are now if you just keep the same progression, because you have the fire. Mm-hmm. And that fire is like, it can't be taught. You have to find it. And mm-hmm. you own yours in your space so beautifully.
I appreciate you, man. I have all this weird diversion and don't know how to accept. I appreciate it. but my body's like rejecting it and go, how could he say these good things about you?
That's called imposter syndrome, and it's natural.
Yeah.
You're building my self-worth here as I'm working on it. So I appreciate you. Eric, if you could wave a magic wand over some of these businesses that you've gotten a chance to peek into now who are at the, I don't want to say at the end of their run, but they're closer towards that exit than perhaps some of our listeners might be. What are some of the things that you see and go, wow, I wish we would have gone back and done this before, or wish we would have set this in motion because now 2, 3, 5 years later, whatever the time period is, this exit process would be so much easier.
So I want to back up a little bit. First, I don't help anyone with an exit of their company. There's so many mergers and acquisitions people out there that are so much better at that than I am. Really, what's happened is this. I've told my story on a couple of podcasts, and I've had the host turn around and look at me, and like Ryan Moran is like, I think I want you to teach me how you did that. And I said, okay, I can do that. And it comes down to asking the right questions, because most of us, once you reach a certain level of affluence, that you realize that money's nice, it buys you some freedom, but it's not the end all be all. If your business is only building business to make money, you're going to burn out. It's not a question of if, it's when. You're going to burn out. And if you're just out there grinding to make an extra dollar because it makes you feel better and you get the dopamine rush of the extra comma or whatever it is, eventually there'll be parts of that business that feel like death to you. And my goal is two-parted. For me, my initial goal for myself was I want to not feel like death. I love my businesses. I love Aviator. It's incredible. What we do there is like one of the most incredible highs you can possibly give someone. You're teaching them to do something superhuman. And I love that process. I couldn't stand replying to emails. I couldn't stand any more sales calls. I couldn't do the bookkeeping. There were so many elements that I thought about doing, and it was such drudgery that I just put them off and put them off and put them off until it was too late, and mistakes started happening, and this burnout just kept growing. And so I've realized that I had to do something different. If success didn't look like making more money, success looked like what? Well, for me, success looked like being with my wife and kids, taking adventures for myself, taking adventures with my kids. That's been a huge one. I mean, when I was 19, I rode a motorcycle from Tennessee to Pennsylvania to Florida to Alaska to San Diego and back, right? This crazy adventure. And I've done many adventures like that. When I was 16, I flew a little ultralight airplane from South Florida to Northwest Arkansas and didn't die. You know, like all these crazy things that most people wouldn't consider doing, but I felt like I had to do because it made me feel like I was in control of my life. So I look at these companies and I ask the hard question, like, why is it that you do this? And so many people have a really rapid fire answer for that, but it's not the real answer, right? It's not that like the heart of why we do things is so much deeper than what we wear on our sleeve that seems socially acceptable. If I told you that you're going to come learn to fly a paramotor and I'm going to help you become present with who you really are, and it sounds hokey, right? No, I'm going to sell you one. I'm going to give you the greatest adventure of your life, and you're going to do something superhuman. And that's true. But the deeper reason is that I've seen people who are big and boisterous and have a voice become soft and somber and are willing to look at themselves. I've seen people who are quiet and shy become the big vocal voice in the room. I've watched people shift who they are. That's what I really bring with Aviator. And that's what I hope that each company, even this business, like your business right here, creating podcasts, right? What are you really doing? I'll ask you, what do you feel like your true vision, mission, like what greatness do you bring to the universe as Hector and as this company?
We're trying to evolve the consciousness of humanity. We're trying to give people the tools to evolve themselves in hopes that will allow an evolution collectively.
Dude, I love that. Do you tell that to people every time you talk to them?
If they ask, if they'll let me.
So fun challenge for you. In 2018, I sat down and wrote out the core values of my company and kept them all private because I felt like they were private. Now, every time someone signs up for training, they get an email from me that says, thank you so much for your trust, your time, your money, and your life. Here's what my team's core values are. And if you feel in any way, shape, or form that we're not performing to that high level, that there's something that we're breaking of our core values, please reach out to us. Here's my personal cell. Here's my personal email. Reach out to me and we'll make it right. I started doing that about a year and a half ago. I haven't received one phone call or one email. Or mind you, we're kind of a weird company. Our NPS score is 93. Like people really like what we do, but that's just, it's giving that opportunity. So what my challenge to you would be, why don't you put that on your website? Why don't you make that like forefront? Yeah, you'll turn a few people off. You'll turn a few people who like aren't your people anyway. They're gonna be the clients that you don't like working with because it's content you don't enjoy, that your team is probably like, oh God, not this again, right? But if you actually wear it on your sleeve, what your vision is, what your mission is, suddenly the people that are attracted into your orbit are just incredibly different humans. It's the right people. It's the people you've been looking for. At least that's been my experience. So I don't think I've answered your question fully, but that is the first thing we do is we look at the vision, the mission. We start to really understand what success means to you. And if once we understand what success means to you, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, companies who are earlier along in the process. And I think that anyone can do this, even if, let's say, your EBITDA is $100,000 a year, you can do this to an extent. It's going to take you a lot longer to exit the company because you just can't afford to hire the right people. To do it efficiently, I think you need $1 million in EBITDA. I think you could do, the title of the book that's in my head right now, I think is going to be like 1 year to freedom. I think in a year, you can pretty sustainably work with a coach, your consultant, or even just ask the right questions, which we already talked about the first couple of questions. What's the vision? What's the mission? What is success to you? If you ask yourself those right questions and you start stripping those things away, what do you hate doing every day? That's something that is an imperative question that will lead toward what you give up first. What really makes you come alive in your business? What do you want to do forever? And for some people, there will still be things they want to do forever. For others, like myself, I was just like, I just need a 5 year break. I'm about 2 years into my 5 year break from that business. And I still like, I was back in Florida in January. And to give a little context there, my businesses are all in Florida. My family and I live in Texas. Because we could, because we wanted to be around other front row dads, that people who prioritize family first. And we were able to leave our companies in May of last year. We're coming up on a year and they didn't break. Everything kept happening. In the last 24 hours, we've soloed 12 new pilots. Like, it's the coolest thing to see. Like, it's still working. It's still happening, but it didn't need me. It needed better systems, which really meant it needed better questions and to have really careful answers and to have really clear direction.
Yeah, those are universal. Those seem to be the things that if you can ask the right questions, the answers are, I don't want to say subjective, but they're secondary, perhaps. Mm. And I think that too many people go in just looking for the answer, not thinking that the question is actually, the first answer is determining the right question.
100%. And I think that's, I mean, it took me 4 years to really develop the right questions to put myself in a position where I could experience success the way I wanted to. I've referred to it as the last several months have been really boring because I don't have anything that has to happen right now. So now I'm working on other things. Like I've been helping front row dads, I've been helping other companies. I've been, what started this conversation about consulting was like helping my friends who've asked me to help them do this has been the most fun thing I've done in business in 5 years because it's just rehashing what I already did for me. And it's a lot more rewarding because there's no like emotional attachment because it's not my business. Yeah. Which helps.
When you look forward, what is the vision for this conglomerate, if you will? What is the evolution that you see for both yourself and some of the businesses that you're leading?
Well, for me personally, every business that I'm involved in has to meet my personal mission statement. It has to bring out some good in some part of the universe, some part of humanity that really helps people see themselves. So I have no interest in working on something that doesn't do that. One of the people I'm speaking to right now about consulting with them, that they're this incredible female entrepreneur from New York, and their mission is to create the opportunity for choice for women founders. Her story, I don't want to share too much, but her story is just absolutely incredible for generations of the number of times that choices have been taken from the women in her family. And her desire to create freedom of choice is so empowering to me. And it's something that I want for my daughter. It's something that I want to bring into the world. So as for me personally, that's my mission. I'm going to keep doing that. And each of the companies that I own, we've acquired 3 companies in the last 3 years, maybe it's 4. Doesn't matter. Those all have to do the same. Whether they're rolled into one of our larger organizations or they continue to operate on their own, they need to do the same. I mentioned Superhuman Acts of Aviation. You know, we bought this company, National Stoll, the aircraft racing series. We made that investment because I think aviation is one of the first tools to really see yourself. It's the space for complete personal responsibility. It's a space where you can't have distractions. It's a real meditative process. If you're flying, you're not thinking about your taxes. You're not thinking about your relationship problems or you're dead, right? You have to be completely locked in. And that was, for me, that my first steps down that path of understanding what makes me me. What is my soul? What am I as a human versus what do I do? And so for a lot of people, I think that aviation is a great first step. If you're not born into a family of meditators or yogis, you know, it's a fantastic first step. And so I think that aviation will probably always be a part of that because I want to inspire more people to do something that's bigger than themselves, that's something that is bigger than being human. And flying is a great gateway drug to, and meditation and all the other wonderful things that you and I have participated in.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really, really, really good stuff, Eric. We could go on for hours, but in the nature of keeping the show consistent, I'm going to leave more to be desired. So if people want to get more connected with you, learn more about what you're doing, where's the best place to go?
How does ericfarewell.com, farewell like you say goodbye, ericfarewell.com. That's a whole nother conversation about how to hire the right VA. My VA made this website for me with no input from me and asked me no questions. It's fantastic. but that's like you say, we could go for hours and we probably should. I tell everyone who has a short podcast, make them 4 hours long. If Tim Ferriss can do it, so can you.
I got to find 4 hours to do it. So all of you listeners, we thank you for sticking with us today and appreciate you being part of the tribe. If you made it this far, we would be forever grateful for a rating or review wherever you get your podcast. And if you know someone who needs to hear this, someone who's in the midst of growing their business, hit that share button, send them a message, let them know you were thinking about them. But go get connected with Eric and myself if you're not already. As always, we appreciate you being here. We'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.